151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
O most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your judgment and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take the insert for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost and chant the introit.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. united with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? Who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their prophets forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please turn to the front of your hymnal to Psalm 127. We chant responsively by whole verse.
Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Enemies in the gate. Glory be to the
verse 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia in verse.
According to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress till it is accomplished. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Sing the hymn of the day, number 655. You may be seated.
Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have two powerful pictures before us about what the life of a Christian is like. Facing the fire and running the race. We all admire people who face the fire. The fireman who rushes into a burning house to rescue the family and the little child who are asleep and risk their lives in the midst of the fire. We admire a soldier who runs into a hail of bullets to rescue a fellow fallen soldier, bring them to safety. We admire people who face the fire and put their very lives at risk. We also admire people that run a race. We admire the Olympic runner who falls down because someone tripped him in the middle of the race, but he gets up and he finishes the race anyway. We admire watching the race, where the horse might be in fifth place, but they prevail and end up being in first place and winning the race. Today, Jesus is comparing our life to facing fire and running a race. What does Jesus mean when he says he comes to bring a baptism of fire on the earth? And what does it mean that we must run with endurance the race that is set before us? So today, quite simply, we consider these two pictures of our Christian life. And so let us begin. Christian life is facing the fire. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it would be kindled." What's so marvelous about our text today is it rids us of all sentimentality when it comes to the Christian faith. People who do not understand the Christian faith say sappy, wimpy things about the Christian life. Christians come to give us a nice life on earth to help you in your walk through life. That's not what Christ says. Christ comes for the fire of God's wrath to be cast upon him. And that fire is kindled because of the wrath of God against our sin. Jesus came to face fire. And that's what happened to him. The wrath of God fell upon him in his cross. That's what he means when he says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with. How great is my distress." Jesus shared our flesh and blood. He did not look forward to suffering, but he came willingly to be baptized by fire upon the cross. We know he had distress. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood, asking his Father if there's any other way, but God's will would be done. No sooner had he finished praying, here came Judas, and the whole thing began. He says, "Until it is accomplished." You see, the force of the law, the fact that we have broken the law, in sins of thought, word, and deed, and the fact that God takes this seriously, is shown by the fact that the sin had to be borne by someone. We could not bear it, but Jesus did. It was accomplished on the cross when he said, "It is finished." Now, because Christ came to face the fire, this is why he said this cryptic saying, "Do you think I've come to give peace on earth? No, but rather division." People look at this and say, what is Jesus saying? Notice what he said. "Do you think I come to bring peace on earth?" I mean, there's never been peace on earth. People are always in animosity against other people. People have enemies, wars, and violence. I mean, they continue. We don't have peace on earth. We have distress. We have wars. We have violence. Jesus came to give heavenly peace, not earthly peace. The heavenly peace means that through Christ, when the wrath of God fell on him, the wrath of God will not fall on us. So we are at peace with God the Father through Christ Jesus. So we do have heavenly peace. But Jesus did not come to bring earthly peace. This is why he says, once the gospel goes out, people will be divided in their own household. 3 against 2, 2 against 3. Father and mother against son, daughter, and daughter-in-law. How can this be? Well, in a family, if a father and mother come to recognize the truth of Christ and the gospel, they are children of God. But if their son, daughter, and daughter-in-law believe the lies of the world and refuse to believe, there's a division between, in this family itself, between the parents and the children. Or the opposite could be true. The son and the daughter and daughter-in-law may believe and be Christians, and the father and mother are pagans. The sad reality is that when the gospel goes out in the world, even in our human families, some will believe and some will not. Some of you face this reality in your own lives, having family members in your own family who are not believers. People in countries across the world, in many Muslim countries, when one becomes a Christian, their very lives are at risk, and their own family may try to kill them because they are Christians. We must not be sentimental about the Christian life. The Christian life is serious but joyful business. We must also face the fire of this world, but Christ bore the fire for us. This is why Jeremiah this morning describes our lives under the Lord of hosts, which means the armies of the angels of the Lord. When the mouth of the Lord speaks the word of the Lord, the counsel and the storm of the Lord's anger will come on the last day. The unbelieving world is not prepared for it. But you and I know God is not far off. God is at hand. He fills the heaven and the earth. But his name is upon us right here. His name was upon you in holy baptism. His name is upon you in the word of absolution. And his name and promise is with you at the Lord's table in holy communion. We are called as pastors to speak the word of God faithfully, so that our lives can be wheat, not straw. The wheat gathered into the barn, not the straw that is burned. God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. The word of God should strike us in our heart. That is why we confessed our sin this morning. The hammer of God tells us we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And we are broken. And we need Christ to face the fire for us and to give us peace. Let us be realistic, but joyful about our Christian life. If we're going to be faithful in our generation, we must be willing to face the fire, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. But we are not afraid, because Christ has faced the fire for us. Secondly, Jesus compares our Christian life to running a race. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us. Running the race. Here we see a beautiful picture. Not only are we facing the fire, we're running the race. When he says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you heard about all of them, or many of them, I should say, in the epistle lesson. We're surrounded by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, even Rahab. All these people, the people who trusted the promise of God in their generation, ran their race to the end. They're no longer here on earth. They bore the reproach of Christ. They were the people of God, and now they are in heaven. The only way we can run the race is because not only did Jesus face the fire, Jesus ran the race before us. Jesus is the one who ran the race to the very end. Christ was obedient even to death on the cross because he saw the joy set before him and endured the cross. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended to the right hand of God. He's at the throne at God's right hand. He has run the race and is victorious. Now the saints are cheering us on. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. In the communion liturgy, we say, therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Just imagine that you are running into the stadium in the Olympics, running the last lap of the race, and the entire stadium is filled with thousands of people cheering you on. Those thousands and tens of thousands are the saints who've gone before us. We are running the race. You don't know how long you're going to be here on earth, but you do know you're running the race. Now, we don't run the race on our own strength. We talk about the true Passover of God, the sprinkled blood of Christ, the atoning sacrifice of Christ, our Passover lamb, atones for us, washes away our sin, covers us with his righteousness. Christ is our Passover lamb. Christ is the founder and perfecter of our faith. The joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned the shame, and now sits at the right hand of God. We rejoice that we too have faith. If all these Old Testament believers had faith, then we in this New Testament era are called to have faith. Did you know the main reason you come to church on Sunday? You could have done something else this morning like everybody else on your street. You could have just had some eggs and mowed the lawn, went swimming, and went golfing, and thought, hey, this is a great day. I can do what I want. But you came here this morning. Why? Because you have faith. The purpose of coming here is not to do some religious thing. You're not trying to be a goody-two-shoes religious person. That's not why you come to church. Your neighbors might think you are. You are coming here so your faith can be nurtured, because the greatest gift you have is your faith. Because on the day that you die, none of the stuff you have will help you at all. None of it. The way you will endure is because of your faith. And everything that we do here in baptism, preaching, teaching, absolution, and Holy Communion is to strengthen your faith so that we can despise the shame, so we can look forward to the right hand of the throne of God. We can endure hostility against us by sinners because Christ did it for us. So run the race, the writer of Hebrews said. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside the sin that clings so closely to you as you did as you confessed it. Run with endurance the race set before you. At the end, you see Jesus at the finish line. Look to him. You have a greater wealth than earthly treasures. You can see him who is as yet invisible, but we are visible to him. And then he will be visible to us when we finally finish the race. So my friends, in conclusion, we learn that hardships discipline us as true sons of God. Your parents had to punish and discipline you sometimes so that you would learn a lesson for life. The Lord disciplines us, it is true. But we must fix our eyes on Jesus, who bore the baptism of fire and is the founder and perfecter of our faith. If Jesus went through the cross and shame and is now risen and ascended and sitting at the right hand of God, we too can face the fire and run the race. Throw off everything that is hindering you. Persevere in the race set out before you, and know this: as you come to the Lord's table, the great cloud of witnesses are cheering you on. So my friends, it is time for us to face the fire of the world and to run the race toward Christ Jesus. This is how our life is described by Christ. May this be reality in our life, so that we joyfully both face the fire and run the race. Till we see Christ in glory, may that be true of each one of us. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. The Nicene Creed, page 158, we stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, our fathers in the faith gave a good confession of your truth before the powers of this world. In the spirit of Jeremiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, strengthen our hearts in days of division to confess in our words and lives the glory of your name. And bless Trinity Lutheran Church and the ministries in this place. Bless Cindy Zerbel's work as she serves in the Czech Republic, that they and we may be faithful in the gospel of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you inspired your servant Jeremiah to proclaim your word amid the lies of false prophets. Arm your servants in our day with the power of your Holy Spirit to contradict the lies of the enemy and build up your church upon the eternal foundation of your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you settle the solitary in families to nurture their faith and train them in righteousness. Bless and strengthen parents, children, and our families to resist temptation and endure all things for the sake of your name. Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, that you be this week with Ryan Gaither, Johnny Eisenbaum, and Ashley Wilson, Jamie Huntley, Lexi Merchant, Leah Haxton, and Deborah Stratmoment, Caleb Hartman, Aaron Lee, and Keegan Hager as they celebrate their birthday, and be with Pastor Myron and Dorothy Maltz, Steve and Tammy Lemke, Ken and Pat Orkies, Eldon and Jonna Juke, David and Kathy Nairns as they celebrate their anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God Almighty, behold our nation and all those in authority in your mercy. Replenish them by your grace, that all who receive the sword would bear it according to your word, always inclining to your will and walking in your ways. Grant that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, as we pray for an end to the war in the Ukraine, and pray for those who serve in the military, Eli Wiley, Courtney Tate, and Danny Green, Ricardo Patanga and Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, and Alex Laffin. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, grant healing to the sick. Be with Nancy Brasowski, Glenda Hager, Patsy Roller, and Jay Gallagher, Kay Coffey, Lindsay Shem, Melody Lechtenberg, and Jean Faulkner, Julie Rose, Leonard Knippa, Raymond Sendelbach, and Claire Jones, Joe Waller, and Candy Darman. Grant, O Lord, that they be patient under trials, and grant them patience and deliverance according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort the family of Scott and Kent Christner, who are now with you in heaven. Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, that we too may be faithful and run the race set before us until we also come to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, in the midst of drought, provide us rain for the crops of the earth, and bless the farmers and ranchers who provide for our daily bread. Lord, provide rain and bring this and all of the drought to an end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our fathers, bless your church with the enduring witness of the saints who rest from their labors. As we join their heavenly communion in the Lord's Supper, grant that we will share in their faith in Christ now and to life's end. For you live and reign, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
As we gather the offerings, please take the ritual of friendship pad at the end of the pew, tear off a sheet, fill it out, and give it to the person next to you, and you may place the filled out sheets in the basket in the narthex as we depart. You may be seated. We gather the offerings.
Offertory, page 159, we stand to sing. Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy.
Christ.
The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
True body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Love Christ.
True body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, in body and soul, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. C. Mechanical Thank the Lord, page 164. We stand to sing. To you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.